In this episode, we speak with Rashmi Gopinath of B Capital, a multi-stage global investment firm that partners with extraordinary entrepreneurs to shape the future through technology. With $6 billion in assets under management across multiple funds, the firm focuses on seed to late-stage venture growth investments, primarily in the enterprise, financial technology, and healthcare sectors. Rashmi is a general partner and head of enterprise investing at the firm. She focuses on enterprise software investments in cloud infrastructure, cybersecurity, DevOps, and artificial intelligence and machine learning. She has over 2 decades of experience investing and operating in enterprise technologies and was recognized as one of the top software investors of 2023 by GrowthCap. I am your host, RJ Lumba. We hope you enjoy the show. If you like the episode, click to follow.
RJ Lumba is the managing partner of GrowthCap and the executive chairman of Market Insight Media. He is the host of Growth Investor, a podcast featuring today's best investors, executives, and founders. In the minutes ahead, we'll uncover insights and strategies for accelerating growth and succeeding in business.
Rashmi, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's a delight to be with you.
Thanks, RJ. Really excited to have this conversation as well.
Where I thought we could kick off is the background of B Capital, because I think it's really interesting how you have a partnership with BCG. I think that's a very distinct feature of the firm and maybe how you're able to generate intel, ideas, opportunities, et cetera. So can we start there, hear a little bit more about BCG?
Yeah, absolutely. B Capital was founded back in late 2015, early 2016. Three of our co-founders came from actually pretty diverse backgrounds. Eduardo Saverin, as you probably know, was one of the co-founders of Facebook. Howard Morgan was the founder of First Round Capital. He founded Renaissance Technologies before that. So somebody who's highly respected, has a ton of credibility in early stage investing, and Raj Ganguly, who previously was at Bain Capital and had strategic ties with BCG, was an advisor to BCG. The three of them kind of came together to found B Capital. And one of the founding principles for B Capital was twofold. One was to start with a global mindset. We strongly believe that innovation can come from any corner of the world, and we want to be able to support the best entrepreneurs and the best ideas, regardless of where they're based at. So the firm started off with that global mindset, following, I would say, a dual investment strategy across the US and Asia. And then the second founding principle was the strategic partnership that we've built with the Boston Consulting Group. They were our anchor LPs for our first fund and have been LPs in every fund that we have deployed since 2016. And the reason for why this partnership makes sense is for BCG to kind of partner with B Capital to get a preview into the latest innovative technologies, the most cutting edge software products that they can then bring forward to their clients and get their clients exposed to the latest and greatest of what's happening in the startup ecosystem. And for B Capital, it's a great partnership because it allows us the ability to leverage the immense connectivity that BCG has with the Global 2000 to bring that value back to our portfolio companies. And that can be in a variety of different formats. It could be strategic go-to-market partnerships that we can expose our companies to through the BCG client base. It could be leveraging BCG for strategic consulting projects similar to what they offer to the Fortune 500. They could bring that same level of rigor and discipline on these strategic projects for our portfolio companies, as well as provide market insights, which are super valuable for our companies. Partner on thought leadership exercises for our portfolio companies, where a number of our portcos have partnered with BCG to put out white papers, to put out webinars, where we bring in the BCG expertise and we bring in our startup expertise to create some joint go-to-market collaterals. So I would say the partnership has been really successful. all three ways. I mean, for B Capital, for our portfolio companies, as well as for BCG. And it gives us a competitive advantage, both in winning the competitive deals, but also more importantly, providing a very distinctive value add for our portfolio companies post-investment.
Now, tell us about your background. As I was preparing for this interview and looking at what you've done professionally in your career, it sounds like a great portfolio of experiences, meaning you worked with companies directly serving in different roles. You've worked as an investor within a large corporate, and then you eventually made your way to B Capital. So tell us a little bit about your professional journey.
Yeah, my journey was one of several detours along the way. So I would describe myself as a non-traditional venture capitalist. My initial set of experiences were primarily on the operating side, both with large companies and with startups. So I have an undergrad in engineering, built software products for large tech companies like Oracle and GE Healthcare, primarily across a variety of different software sectors, all the way from databases to data analytics to DevOps and cybersecurity and machine learning. And then post-business school, pivoted into venture capital first with Intel Capital, where my role was to help us invest in enterprise software spaces. I had the opportunity to work on 7 transactions during my time at Intel Capital, and these were across, again, a variety of software themes like databases and mobile applications and cybersecurity, and then decided to take an intentional detour onto the startup operating side. So was at 2 startups. One was an early stage cloud infrastructure startup called Blue Data, which was one of my portfolio companies from Intel Capital, where I wore a variety of different hats across different go-to-market functions. The company ended up getting acquired by HPE. And then was at a growth stage NoSQL database startup in the Valley called Couchbase, where I led the business development team, and they ended up going public a few years back. And that startup operating experience was really critical for me to kind of round out my skill set in terms of being more hands-on and seeing what it takes for companies to go from 0 to 1, 1 to 10, and 10 to 100. And I would say that operating experience provided a very different and a very enriching perspective when I came back on the investing side with Microsoft Ventures, post my role at Couchbase. And at Microsoft Ventures, it was a really exciting role because we were setting up a new corporate venture fund from the ground up, a role that I would say comes very rarely across a VC's profile, where you have the opportunity to build a fund from the ground up. And there, I would say it was primarily to help build out a venture fund for Microsoft. It was the first time Microsoft was embarking upon setting up a VC fund. And so we built up the team, we built up the investment process, we built up the platform go-to-market that we were providing to our portfolio companies. My role there was, again, similar to B Capital, leading a variety of enterprise software investments across sectors like cloud infrastructure, cybersecurity, DevOps, application software, data infrastructure, and AI. And after a stint at Microsoft for about a little over 4 years, joined B Capital in early 2020 to build out the enterprise software practice for B Capital. So my current role, I lead our US team on the enterprise growth side, focusing again on both horizontal and vertical software themes. Have invested in about 25 companies now at B Capital over the past 4.5 years. Similar sectors and similar themes, but more focused on growth. So the theme would be Series B through late stages.
You know, what's striking is how productive you are as an investor. I mean, you mentioned 25 investments. And what's unique, I think, about your profile is that you do have exceptional tech operating experience. Do you think that when you're speaking to founders and CEOs, that they're gravitating more towards you, maybe in a competitive investment situation, because they know you have this particular background?
I think that definitely plays to an advantage, primarily in, I would say, deep tech infrastructure spaces that we invest in, like cybersecurity or data infrastructure or DevOps or cloud infrastructure, where many of these companies have a highly technical bent to them. And it requires an understanding of the technical moat that these companies can sustain over a period of time. And so peeling back the layers in terms of what does the core architecture and the tech stack look like? How does that compare to what the incumbents may be offering in this space, or where future roadmaps for the existing incumbents may go? And for founders to take comfort in the fact that the investors are equally knowledgeable in those spaces, have more of a deeper understanding of the product strategy, and can help in fleshing out that product strategy going forward is definitely helpful. So in my experience, it has been a competitive advantage to have that technical know-how and to work closely with the portfolio companies and with the startup founders to help determine which direction do we want to take the product stack going forward.
You know, I'd like to go back to something you said earlier in the conversation about the global approach from day one. I mean, setting up a firm to invest, it could seem maybe a bit daunting. Like, how do we break down the globe and figure out how to allocate our resources to find the best opportunities, the best entrepreneurs and management teams, et cetera? And you focus on the US and Asia. How have you been able to do this effectively? Go global and do it in a way where you're productive from day one and scaling from day one as a firm?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's obviously been a journey as we have added additional geographies to the mix. Today, we have portfolio companies across North America, LATAM, Europe, Asia, and Israel. We have one in Africa as well. But that obviously has been a function of time as we have grown our expertise across these new geographies that we've invested in. The initial footprint that we had in US and Asia was primarily based off of the team presence that we had in those regions, as well as the expertise that we had built on the team that had invested in those regions before. Today, as I look across the team, the US team leads our investments across North America, Europe, and Israel, three geographies where, again, the investment team has had deep expertise investing in before, as well as areas where we can leverage a lot of BCG's global footprint as well to help us get up to speed in newer geographies that we had. For example, when we invested in this fintech company out of Africa that was based off of one of our partners who leads our fintech efforts, had expertise in that particular domain, but we were also able to leverage a lot of the BCG expertise in that geography to get up to speed on the market dynamics and what the competitive landscape looked like. And then post-investment to help our portfolio company get those additional resources and capabilities to think of newer go-to-market strategies across that continent. So it's, I would say, a combination of internal team expertise, domain knowledge, as well as leveraging the BCG relationship to help us build that global footprint as well.
And it seems like you've been able to cultivate a certain culture, one of productivity. I know I'm going back to that theme, but also one of deep expertise. Tell us, in maybe your own words, the kind of thread of culture that runs through your team across all locations.
I would say the core theme is definitely around collaboration. Being across different time zones and different geographies is never easy. But at the same time, we're staunch believers in diversity gives us the best possible outcomes that we can build for our LPs. And that diversity comes not just from gender and experience, but also from geographical diversity. That can only be enabled when we have very open, transparent communication pathways between different teams. And we do a lot of that across different investment teams in different geographies. For example, when we look at enterprise software themes in Southeast Asia, the deal teams will bring in the right experts in those domains from teams in the US, from teams in Southeast Asia, or teams in China. So it's kind of that collective effort to make sure that we're bringing together the insights from different regions to really double down on the fact that, are we truly investing in the best possible company in that specific domain? And then, of course, there's the collaborative theme, which also transpires between the levels and hierarchies. We've tried to keep a fairly flat organization, which also breaks down a lot of the silos between different teams. And overall, I would say we've really strived hard to make sure that we build a low ego culture where we truly believe in the collective win. And so it's not so much as an individual sport or one individual win, but collectively, how do we create the best outcomes for the fund? And that could be us helping out on diligence from the growth team to an investment that we're making out of an early stage fund. It could be an investment that we're making on the healthcare fund, where there might be some insights that could be leveraged from AI or data themes that we're seeing on the enterprise side. So a lot of that cross-team collaboration and going for that collective win, I would say, is kind of the foundational aspects of the culture that we have aspired to bring to the team. And it's something that we pay attention to as we continue to grow the team as well. It's a core part of our recruiting process as well, is ensuring that the folks that we bring on board align to the culture that we're trying to develop at the fund.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself traveling quite a bit? How does the team that's kind of dispersed across offices get to know each other in person?
Traveling a lot. I would say it's definitely been great to visit our offices. We have 10 offices at this point. And so visiting different offices to spend time with the team and to make sure that we give ourselves plenty of time, even if we were in a different city or a different country, for a work travel, to make sure that we spend time with the team in those regions, and maintaining an open door policy where folks can reach out over Slack or text or email at any point in time if they have any questions or need help from someone from another team. So definitely travel, yes. A lot of late night Zoom calls or early morning Zoom calls as well.
Which areas of technology, I guess, whether software, healthcare, fintech, are you most excited about? Areas that you're paying the closest attention to? Can you share with us your interest level across different interesting areas?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that spending more time right now from an enterprise software theme on the infrastructure side, we believe that as we've seen the macro kind of evolve and shift over the past 18 months, which has led to a significant lengthening of sales cycles and a lot of scrutiny on software spend and budgets, what that has resulted in is this distillation of the most critical software products or vendors that help solve key pain points for enterprises. Those budgets still continue to remain quite healthy. And a lot of that allocation, if we look at the dispersion of the spend, tends to be aggregated into the infrastructure spaces. And so we're spending more time across themes like data infrastructure, AI infrastructure, cybersecurity, and DevOps. And I'll definitely be remiss if I don't mention generative AI, which is an area that we believe is going to be the foundational structure for any software company, just as we came off with the maxim not a few years back, where every company is a software company. We now believe that every company will have to evolve to become an AI company. And there will be a rethink of many of the core foundational architectures of how software is built to be able to support the world, and where generative AI kind of becomes a foundational basis for many of the companies that we use products from or we leverage in our day-to-day lives. And then on the generative AI side, paying more attention to the ops layers, paying more attention to the compute infrastructure, given that compute is a huge component of the cost drivers for usage of generative AI today. And then around the data privacy and security side, which is going to be critical for Gen AI applications to become more mainstream in the enterprise world. So a lot of infra themes where we're spending our main focus right now.
For the benefit of the CEOs in our audience, could you give us an example, sort of a case study of how you've helped a company that you've invested in?
Yeah, I think there's too many to discuss right now, but maybe sharing a couple of examples. One of our companies that we've been invested in now for almost 4 years is in the healthcare data analytics space. We first led the CDC one round and then invested in the D and the E rounds as well. I would say in terms of the value add that we provided to the portfolio companies has ranged all the way from executive recruiting, where we've actively leveraged our talent team to help fill a number of C-level and VP-level roles for the company. The second aspect that we're actually very strong at is on our capital advisory side, where we have a team of experts that came from large bulge bracket banks like Goldman Sachs, and they typically come in and help our portfolio companies on any balance sheet needs that they have on buy-side, sell-side advisory. So as this company has gone through a process of evaluating tuck-in acquisitions for them to expand their product roadmap and to help add additional revenue to their top line, our cap advisory team has kind of been the unofficial corp dev team for this portfolio company to help them evaluate these acquisitions and put together the structure of what that acquisition structure would look like. And they worked with them on the negotiations and then the final closing of that tuck-in acquisition as well. We're now in the process of helping them on IPO prep and readiness. And then lastly, I would say leveraging BCG, both on the customer introduction side, where we've introduced them to a number of large health systems, as well as the payer ecosystem. And we've also leveraged BCG on a few strategic projects. One of them was on looking at the org effectiveness and driving more efficiency into the cost basis, as many of our late stage companies are on track to get to profitability before they hit public markets. That was something that we had leveraged BCG for, is to help figure out what the optimal operational structure for the company needs to look like to make sure that we're operating at a high level of efficiency across different departments and teams.
We're heading into the tail end of the conversation. I have two final questions. One is, can you tell us about a person who has had a profound influence on you?
My prior role at Microsoft, we interacted with Satya every quarter. For me, it was highly inspiring to see how grounded and how humble he was, despite all the amazing, incredible, magical wins that he has created for Microsoft, as well as seeing firsthand in terms of what I would say one of the best deal makers that I have worked with looks like and how he evaluates different opportunities and the deals that he had made, whether it was with LinkedIn acquisition or the GitHub acquisition or the more recent OpenAI partnership, have just been completely transformational and incredible for Microsoft and at that scale. And so that's super inspiring for me as I think about deal making in my role and how we can both invest in the right companies, but also create those needle moving impacts for portfolio companies.
Excellent. Last question. Can you tell us about a charity, cause, or other endeavor that you're passionate about?
So this one is a little personal. I lost my mom to cancer a few years back. And so voluntary or charitable efforts around cancer eradication is something that I feel super passionate about. Have engaged pretty heavily with American Cancer Society in the past. And that's something that I definitely am excited and enthusiastic about continuing to pursue going forward as well.
Thank you for sharing that. Rashmi, I want to thank you again for taking the time. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thanks so much for the time, RJ.